And revenue is open. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to go through the order of the agenda today as closely as we can and start with a series of work sessions here. I don't know if we're not going to have Ben's.
Ben's is in the governor's office.
Yes. So these are bills that we heard the other day. Let's start with a work session on House Bill 2390. Caitlin, could you give us a quick summary, please?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so as we, Chair Haas, members of the committee, as we heard yesterday, this bill deals with deposits of public funds. It tries to make some changes to statute, dealing with issues that were brought up during an interim work group to allow better facilitation of agreements with third-party vendors and the state. There's no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact.
Okay. Do you have any issues or questions for staff? Anything come up since the public hearing? Okay, then.
You ready?
Yeah.
I move 2390A to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2390 to the floor of the Orion State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2390 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. I want to be careful here and declare a conflict or a potential conflict. My employer does business with the state treasurer.
You want me to carry it? I'm fine.
Yes. Senator Boquist, would you carry it? I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2174, which we heard yesterday. We'll get a summary from Jamie McGovern.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. This is House Bill 2174 is the bill, B is the bill that would require the delivery of urban renewal plan and accompanying report to a governing body of each taxing district affected by urban renewal plan with a public building. And so it sets up the process that three out of the four most affected taxing districts by that urban renewal plan would have to agree in order for that public building to be included in the urban renewal plan, and also sets up some notification period and process by which that urban renewal plan could be amended.
Okay, we heard this yesterday. We did not have any opposition. Urban renewal is our favorite subject in this committee.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2174A to the floor with due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2174B to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2174 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Taylor, would you carry this bill? Thank you.
Happy
to. The 911 bill. I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 2449.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. The 911 fee on phone bills is currently 75 cents. This bill would take that to $1 in the first effective year and $1.25 in the second effective year. And that also adjusts administrative and collection costs allocated to the Office of Emergency Management and Department of Revenue. Correspondingly, this would increase that we have a revenue impact statement that shows that in the first biennium, which is only effective in the second part of the biennium, so the revenue or funds available for distribution would be increased by a little under $15 million. And then in the subsequent years, that would be $62.3 and $64.8 million with the increase to $1.25.
Any questions of staff on this bill?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2449B to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2449B to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion?
I'm just opposed. That's fine.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Boquist?
No.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Chair Haas?
Haas votes aye.
I'll carry it, Mr. Chair.
Senator Riley will carry the bill. Thank you. I'm going to close that work session and open up a work session on House Bill 2587.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2587 states that properties that hold a reverse mortgage cannot be in the senior deferral program that's administered through the Department of Revenue. This would create an exception from that rule for specifically the years 2011 and 2017, so that if somebody had entered into a reverse mortgage for in that window, they would still be able to qualify if they, their other components of application allow them to qualify for the deferral program.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2587A to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2587A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Discussion? Objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2587A goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Boquist?
Sure.
Senior deferral?
Okay.
All right. Those are our votes for the day for now. I will open a public hearing on House Bill 3197.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3197A would take that estates that are filing estate tax returns, that all of those returns would be due in 12 months. So that would essentially, I think that you have things like probate and liquidation of assets and these kinds of things. And so sometimes after an estate, there are complexities that add time. And so this would give an extended window, 12 months.
What is the problem here that we're trying to solve with this bill?
My understanding is that currently there's a shorter time window, and what can happen is that probate, for instance, can take a long time, and if people have to liquidate assets in order to pay estate taxes and file an estate tax return, there's also questions of the value of those assets, and this would just essentially allow a little bit of extra time for that.
Okay. Senator Boquist?
What's present law?
I think it's 9 months. I think it's 9 months. The original version of the bill was just specifying this time period for individuals that had to file a federal return, and then the current version of the bill essentially streamlines it so that everyone has the same amount of time.
Okay, we have work session.
No, we're in public hearing. Is there anybody signed up to testify? Okay.
Why are we doing this again?
Yeah,
somebody must be a proponent, right?
We're gonna leave this one alone for now. I'm gonna close that public hearing. Occasionally this happens. And open up a public hearing on House Bill 2128. This one hits close to home.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2128 in its current form is a study bill. It would require LRO in consultation with the Department of Revenue to study the statutory definition of a tax expenditure, in part in connection with the implicit sunsets that are in current law. And the study should lead to recommendations for the 21 legislature. The origins of this bill really dealt with the statutory definition of a tax expenditure and potentially modifying that and how that got connected to the implicit sunsets that we have in current law. And the implicit sunsets have created a number of issues around what is or is not a tax expenditure. And so when I say implicit sunset, I'm thinking back to the 2013 session where the legislature passed a law saying that any tax expenditure created on or after 1/1/2014 that did not have, where there was no sunset mentioned, either a specific sunset or a prohibition against a sunset, so basically it was silent on the sunset for a given tax expenditure, would have an automatic sunset of 6 years. And so what we hit this year in the 1921 biennium, when the Department of Revenue was putting together the latest tax expenditure report, they were coming into a number of provisions of law that they felt, or they were having debates about whether or not these provisions were tax expenditures. And if they did deem them to be a tax expenditure, they could potentially sunset. And without an explicit sunset in law, the stakeholders of a tax expenditure may not be aware that it would be sunsetting, and the Department of Revenue would enforce the law such with the sunset, and it created an awkward situation. So the original bill was designed to try and get at this session, but the House Revenue Committee wasn't able to find the time to work on that issue, so it became the steady bill that you have before you, with the intent of having DOR and LRO come back to the legislature and provide some suggestions around how to handle the implicit sunsets, as well as perhaps make the tax expenditure report a little more useful.
Yeah, you had some examples. We've had some examples come up just this year.
Yes, there, and some of them get around whether or not there is whether a given policy is, in fact, a tax expenditure. For example, I think with the bike tax, that was created and the way that was defined as one place as like wheels on the ground or something like that. And then there was a different provision in law that said wheelchairs are exempt from the tax. And so that question is that a tax expenditure where that needs to be reviewed every 6 years or on some other timetable? Or is that really the legislature defining the tax base?
Yeah.
And that's what it really comes down to. It's another way to look at it, is the legislature's ability to define the tax base. Because a tax expenditure is an exception to a tax base. And if every provision of law is a tax expenditure, then that has an implication for the legislature's ability to define what the tax base is. Because one kind of depends on the other.
Yeah. Senator Taylor.
So how is that handled? Thank you, Chair Hass. How is that handled in other states then? I mean, every state would have this situation.
I don't know that others.
Well,
I don't
every
know
every state. But.
Yeah. It depends on state laws, what the implications are for the sunsets. Mm-hmm. Now, whether or not something is a tax expenditure, in many ways, is just an academic discussion. You can have a group of five people debating about whether or not something's a tax expenditure, and it's just a discussion. The situation here is this automatic sunset. If the Department of Revenue deems something to be a tax expenditure, then they're the administrating agency. I'm mainly thinking about income taxes.
Right.
And if they feel a provision is in fact a tax expenditure, then they will disallow it come the sunset time. Now, the legislature may disagree, or stakeholders may disagree, and presumably DOR would be in consult with the AG. And it's really the real world implication of a provision of law, a tax break, not being given because of it being interpreted as a tax expenditure. Whereas the legislature may have deemed something to be not a tax expenditure, just a better definition of the tax base. So running with the wheelchair example, just because it's a concrete example, the legislature may have decided, no, that the tax base, when we say a bike tax, we weren't thinking about wheelchairs. We were thinking about bicycles, which is a reasonable argument. But because there are different pieces in statute, and depending on how the statute was constructed, somebody else might argue that that's a tax expenditure and it's subject to the review process, or at least needs a notwithstanding in that provision of law saying, okay, notwithstanding was the implicit sunset piece. And so it's, and just to be clear, I'm using that example. That is not like a real example that's going on right now. There's not a debate around that one. It's just a concrete one.
Senator Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So to me, there's a couple of things that stand out here. One is the LRO puts together in set before session where we're going to do tax expenditure review, all those things that are considered tax expenditures to be sunset, right? So if there are some that are at, say, there's a debate on, it seems to me that you would put those on the list and say there's a big debate about these, and are they really, and what do you want to do? And at that point, we could either say, yeah, these should have a sunset, or we can say, no, fix this with a notwithstanding, and we could fix it. But to simply pull out a class depending on who knows what, right, to say this is or isn't a tax expenditure, I think that's our job, first of all. And I think that's, in my opinion, that's the way to go about it, is any that there's any question about, if there's a sunset coming up, let's debate it, let's fix it one way or the other.
And that would be, the study or this approach doesn't presume that a law change is necessary, and under that scenario, kind of a current law, that is probably what we would do, is be cast a wide net of what is in there and let the legislature decide, and notwithstanding, the potential path there is this notwithstanding this other provision could start to get littered throughout a statute. And as the legislature creates new taxes, there's always that question. And as long as we're aware of it and casting that wide net going into each session, presumably we wouldn't miss any of these.
Right. All right. It's a thick wicket there for you to look at.
Yes. Mm. It can be complicated and headache inducing.
Okay. And the wicket's really designed to make sure everybody comes to the table, right?
That's part of it, yeah.
Right.
But and to be clear about, you know, to Senator Riley's point, who has the authority to decide if something is or is not a tax expenditure? And arguably, it would be the legislature.
Okay. I don't know if you were lobbying us, but I think you convinced us.
No, I am.
I'm going to close public hearing and open up a work session on House Bill 2128.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2128A to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2128A to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion? Are there any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 2128 goes to the floor of the Oregon Senate with a due pass recommendation. I'll be the carrier on this one. That clears our deck for today. Thank you all. We are adjourned.